This is the hour. We'll take your phone calls, your stories, your questions with Chantel Lissette as we talk about her work, Angelic Pathways. We'll get right to you when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Chantel Lissette with us. Chantel, this interaction between the archangels and humans, is it a regular occurrence? Does it happen a lot?
Oh, it happens all the time. It's not just when we ask, but it's on a regular basis, and it's business as usual for heaven. There's not a moment when the angels aren't working with us. So at all times, there's angels somewhere weaving in and out of someone's life.
How do we know? How do we know it's not trickery by some entity trying to take advantage of us?
Well, a house divided can not stand. And I delve deeply into this and my books because I was born on a very solid Christian background. And then teenage years came along. So that didn't, I walked away from the church at that point. College came, I started exploring other religions and other beliefs. And then I wound up back in church as a born again Christian. Then I left again. So when but at the end of the day, I put the angels through so many rigorous tests. And I put myself through that because they have to get through our filters. They have to get through our desires, our inner voices, the ego that tells us that we're not good enough or for something. So I've tested and tested as much as I humanly can to make sure that these angels are who they say they are. Not to mention, I work with my father directly, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the pillar and the cornerstone of my faith, and he is the one who sends them forth. He is the king of angels, and there's been plenty of times when I haven't listened to my angelic brothers, and they've teased me, if you don't do this, we're going to go tell your father, at which point I go ahead and do it because I answer to Jesus at the end of the day. When I go home, I'm answerable to my father. So if he is sending them and they are doing good and I am seeing them save souls and save people and turn them to God, not away from God, how could they possibly be evil?
Well, I don't think they are, but you could be tricked sometimes, I guess, huh?
Well, I always thought that, but no. My trust is unshakable at this point, and that's how you open up the door to miracles.
All right,
when that trust becomes unshakable.
Okay, we got Drew, truck driving in Oregon. Welcome to the program, Drew. Go ahead.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Chantel. Hi, George.
Hi.
Chantel, I got a little story for you, and George, I got a quick question afterwards.
Sure.
Chantel, in 2011, about 2.5 years ago, I got home from a run I had and went straight to bed. My body was just, like, constantly still running from adrenaline. But I quickly fell asleep, and I saw myself walking up this mountain path through this tunnel and standing on the edge of this mountain, looking up and seeing bodies flying off the ledge and over to this other side that looked like a morning sunset, sunrise out into the horizon. And it took me a moment. I realized where I was. And I yelled across the other way and said, when do I get to come over? And they told me, I heard a voice say, not for another certain amount of time, but and then I asked, well, can I come over and check things out? And they said, yeah, sure. So momentarily, there I was standing with this person with a clipboard, and they were pulling out my records, and I was asking what this was all about and what needed to be done, and they were telling me what needs to be done. And I kept referring to this person, or an angel or whatever, as Mom Karen or something like that.
Hmm. Well, I could tell, the person you were talking to could have been using that name, or you could have been speaking to an angel guide, much like my angel guide, Jake.
Now, these angel guides, how do they come to us, or how do we go to them?
Angel guides are those who lived a human life and went back home, and instead of coming back here to learn lessons, chose to stay home and work with us from the other side of the veil. And I use the other side of the veil loosely. I really don't like to use that term because heaven is right here, right now. We never left. You're still in heaven. I'm still in heaven. Everyone still is. We're just dreaming that we're in this particular reality. So I say that there's no such thing as life or death. We're just dreaming, and then there's awake, and awake is when you go home. So as far as the spirit guides are concerned, they are our spiritual cheerleaders. They can be family, people, friends, people we knew that may not want to come back for a few lifetimes and just want to stay on that side and help us out from the control panel instead of popping into the illusion, as it were.
You've talked about a vortex of manifestation. What is that?
Yes. The vortex of manifestation goes back to where we ended the last segment, where I said that my trust is unshakable.
Right.
And the vortex of manifestation is something the angels told me about at the beginning of the year, where it takes trust in God. And this applies to everyone, even atheists. So, because it's about believing in God, trusting in God, and that's going beyond belief. And you're saying, well, how do atheists come into this? Well, because this can apply to anyone, atheists, trust in yourself. If you believe that you are the masters of your own faith, then trust that and run with it. For the rest of us that have deities that we believe in, then we have to go beyond trust or beyond belief, which can waver a little bit, 50-50, maybe it's there, maybe it's not, and go into trust where we give ourselves over mind, body, soul, and to the point of utter surrender. And it's basically based on a prayer that came to me where it's very simple. Lord, you set the path before me, and I will walk it no matter where it leads. So that's giving the wheel over to Jesus or over to Christ or whomever you believe in. And no, Jesus isn't my co-pilot. He's the pilot. And so when you do that, the heavens will open up, and at that point, whatever you ask for, you get it, but you just simply ask for it. We're very arrogant creatures. We feel that we have to tell God what to do in our prayers. God, I want this house. It has to be this big. It has to have this many rooms. God knows what we need.
Do you think people really pray for that kind of thing?
Yes. Oh, I have had clients come to me and tell me what type of mate they want, right down to eye and hair color,
what's
professions
wrong
and things like that. Well, the thing is, we think we know what's good for us. We think we know what will make us happy.
Well,
that's not always necessarily true. The Almighty knows. what will make us happy. A lot of people think that $250 million will make them happy. And we see a lot of those people become incredibly miserable.
Of course. They're the Illuminati. They want more power.
So coming out of that, I always say, ask for what you want. If you want a house, say, Lord, I need a house. And let him fill in the blanks. You want a spouse? Lord, I need a spouse. Let him fill in the blanks. That's trust. And I know it works because that's how I got my dreams came true in succession over the course of just 5 months. And he told me how they were going to happen, when they were going to happen, and you actually are a part of that wave. And my Archangel Michael said, I'm not going to have time to come up and breathe for the rest of the year. Every time I look up, there's something new. And you were actually a part of that.
Let's go to Keith in Rochester, New York. Keith, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have two fast questions. The first, suicide. I've known several people, including my mother, who took their lives. Would you acknowledge that suicide and euthanasia at times have to be allowed because that person has determined that they're in so much pain that even with counseling, their time has come that death is as much a part of life as life itself? And secondly, what about people who are enslaved? There are a lot of young people, incredibly young people, who are being sex trafficked. Where is God and those good angels to help these nursely young people who are being preyed upon by adults and who simply cannot break free, and then the long-lasting implications of their suffering long-term through their lives from having been sex trafficked and no one ever reaches them? Where is God and those angels for them? Thank you.
Well, two very tough questions here for you, Chantal.
Very, very tough, but actually in my books, those questions are answered. And in fact, in the most recent book, Angelic Pathways, I talk about it. And I will answer that in the same way that I wrote it in my book. The Native Americans, those who were born as Native Americans when before the country was run over, they knew before they got here what they were walking into. The angels told them, this is what your life is going to entail. This is going to be bloody. It is going to be harsh. Conditions will be horrid. But you have the spiritual stamina to withstand this lifetime. And when we're on the other side, we realize that this is only an illusion. An average of 85 years is only 15 minutes of sleep on the other side. It's a 15-minute dream. So we come into these dreams because we know it's an illusion and it's not real, and we're here to learn. So they knew, and they chose to come. And I always say we're here for two reasons. One, because we can be, and two, because the source or God or whoever you want to call it trusts and knows that we can handle it. So, to answer the gentleman's question, where is God? God is watching. God is fully aware of what's going on. It's a part of the script for this particular reality. Is it pretty? No, I don't like it either. But those who come into these lives know what they're coming into. And somewhere out there, there is a hero. There is someone who is going to stand up and will make a change and will eradicate this problem, and we will all learn from it spiritually. But if we keep sitting back and saying, where is God and all of this, instead of taking up a cause and saying, well, I could be the one to help. Maybe that's my purpose in life, and I can do that. It's a cop-out.
Sometimes, Chantel, though, like when a little baby passes on or something like that, mm-hmm. and you say, how could God allow that to happen? How do you answer that? I mean, what do these archangels tell you?
Well, first of all, those who come and leave at a very young age are very high, are very astute souls. Those are still souls who are very well learned. They have most of their lessons learned. So a lot of those who come in and leave very early, they're not here to learn a lesson. They're here to teach a lesson, and it's for the parents. So there's a lesson in there for the parents to understand, whether it's learning about grief or it's whether it's to bring up something that they don't want to face, something from their past. So when we lose our little ones and it hurts, understand that those are advanced souls that come in to teach us, not to learn. We're supposed to learn lessons from them.
Let's take a call here. Daniel in Knoxville, Tennessee. Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, Chantel. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
All righty. I was wanting to share some of the Acts of the Apostles with you, and then I wanted to get your response of what you thought.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. It's in Acts 16, and it's verses 16 through 18. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain servant girl with a spirit, a demon of divination, met us. She used to furnish her masters with much gain by preaching the art of prediction. This girl kept following Paul and us and crying out with the words, "These men are the slaves of the Most High God who are publishing to you the way of salvation." This she kept doing for many days. Finally, Paul got tired of it and turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. And I was wondering, Chantel, do you think that this applies to you or does it not? And if it does not, then why?
Because I have spent so many years worrying that that could have been me. Especially having been in the Pentecostal church and born again Christian, it was in the Pentecostal church that I first heard Jesus Christ's voice that you will teach and you will heal, and it scared me so bad. That's why I left the church, because I was afraid of that. And first of all, let me just set the record straight here: I am not a predicting psychic. I can't tell, you know, someone whether they're going to win the lottery or whether they're going to get their dream job. That's not what I do. My position is, as a angel intuitive, is to connect you with God, period.
Well, when you do that connection, let's find out exactly how people can tune in that way. We're going to come back and take some final calls in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Chantel Lissette with us as we talk about her work, Angelic Pathways. So earlier you were saying if you need to summon up an angel, you simply call their name and they snap to attention.
That's all there is to it. There's no ritual that you have to do. And that's the very core of my work, is to let people know that the angels have been and always will be here for us. They were created for us, to teach us, to push us along our spiritual paths. And all we have to do is to earnestly ask for their assistance. And they will heed that call. Just be ready, because once you call, you're going to see your life to make changes. It's happened to me. It's happened for hundreds and hundreds of people that I've worked with. And I don't write about or discuss anything that I have not personally tried or tested myself. So That's it. All you have to do is call out, and they will come to you.
When you communicate with them for your clients, do the clients ask you questions to ask the angels, or how does that work?
I read cold. I read for the client. Usually my readings are about an hour. Some they've gone longer. But I read and I just relate to the client what the angel has for them. So I always tell my clients, the angels will tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. In all of my galleries, it's a lot of fun because that's where I get a group of 6 to 10 people, and I just randomly read for whatever name that's written on a piece of paper, and I pull it out of a hat. So I have no idea who I'm reading for, and I can't read with my eyes open to save my life. So I am just, it's a little awkward, but I'm reading for total strangers, and it's wonderful because after I'm done, then they can ask me whatever questions they have, and it's usually regarding the reading itself. And it's a joy. I love doing it. I've had great responses with it, and I've been doing it for a long time now. And I always tell people, come back to me when you get your validations, because my client's validation is my validation. And when the angels stop putting the validations and giving signs that they're here, then that's when I'm done. My
work
is done.
Let's go to Jay in Ocala, Florida. Jay, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I enjoy being a new listener. Thank you for all the information that I get from you. And good evening, Chantel.
Good evening. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. About a week before I had cancer surgery, I was shopping with my cousin. Now, this was back in 1995. And we were in the grocery store, and she noticed this very nice-looking man and said, hey, you know, you should go over and talk to him. And of course, I'm shy. I won't do that. And anyway, she got us to exchange numbers. The day before my surgery, I just wanted to have coffee with a man. And so I gave him a call, and he said, sure, I'll pick you up for breakfast. I'll take you for breakfast. And he took me to this very little town, and we were walking around. It was kind of an artsy village. And I got a little tired. I guess I was getting worried about the surgery. And I sat down on this little bench because he told me to. It was a house, and it had a candle shop, which was closed. When I sat down, a man came to the door, and I jumped up and apologized for sitting there. And he said to me, Jay, you don't have to worry about that. You're welcome to sit here anytime you need to for as long as you want to. And I thought, well, that's strange. The man that I was with said, she would love to see the candle shop. Would you show it to her? And he said, sure, just give me a minute. And it was like, maybe a minute and a half or so. He opened the door, and when I walked in, every candle was lit. Now, I think it's impossible for that to happen, and you certainly don't have a store closed with all the lit candles lit. But I went in, and as a result, I felt sort of obligated to purchase something. So I purchased this beautiful little purple candle. And when he was wrapping it up for me, he also gave me this little glass thing to put it on, dish, crystal, actually. And I said, no, 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 I just want the candle, you know. And he insisted that I take it. And then he said to me, look, he said, Jay, you have a very big day coming tomorrow, and I know you're very scared, so I want you to take this and light it and say a prayer, and I promise you, you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. That's how it's done. It's magic,
well,
that way.
Interestingly,
ahead,
that candle, the purple candle, that is representative and associated with Archangel Raphael, who is the angel of healing. So it's very appropriate that you would receive that candle. and that it would be a purple one. Pretty much any color of purple, but especially the color amethyst and then the royal purples, you're looking at the color of healing and Archangel Raphael. So very appropriate and befitting.
Do these archangels, can they handle more than one case at a time? I mean, there's only one of them and zillions of us.
Well, not really.
What if a million people? What if a million people called on him at the same time?
Excellent question, and I answer that in my books too. The angels are made of energy. The physical body we see is just a body they show to connect more with us. But their pure form is pure energy. And in my original book, my first book, Azrael Loves Chocolate, I said they look like a jellyfish, which was the best way I could describe them. But now I realize they actually look like neurons. And I just didn't have the wording at the time. And so these neurons are made of smaller particles, and these particles almost look like a dust. And so Archangel Michael, if he wants, with us, with 7 billion of us on this planet, if all 7 billion of us need Archangel Michael, all he needs to do is shed 7 billion of those particles, because angels are massive sources of energy. They're bigger. If you could think of the sun, the archangel's energy is bigger than that as far as energy is concerned. So the angel can shed off particles and create, I don't like to use the word clone, but that's the word that people understand, and they create clones of themselves that are connected to a source, Michael, that is in heaven. So all he has to do is shed off 7 billion particles, and it's not that Sally gets Michael on Monday and then George gets Michael on Tuesday. Michael can be with all of us at the exact same time and not have to bat an eye. And take it one step further, we humans have the same capability, only on a much smaller scale. The angels can do it into the millions and billions, but we humans, we're babies, so we can only split off into 2 or 3. That being said, we can live multiple realities at the same time.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Patrick in Everett, Washington. Good morning, Patrick.
Hello, George. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Thank you.
So I've been looking forward to talking to her. I listen to you all the time, George. You're a good guy, very smart and very intelligent.
Thank you,
Patrick. I actually, right, sounds odd, but I subscribe to going towards the darker side of it. I accepted my fate as being towards, I won't say satanic, but towards the darker side of angels. There's always the opposite side, and I'm on the opposite side. And I had to call tonight because, in a way, I wasn't told, but I had to call. And it's kind of interesting, I find it. But
well, being on the opposite side, you mean you're on the side of evil, or?
Yeah.
You are, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I find it very interesting.
Do you like being on that side?
This is going to sound rather odd, but it's kind of my birthright. My mother cheated on my father with a priest. And
with a priest?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And it never came out. Later on, he died of cancer. And then on top of that, I committed suicide, and then I came back from the blackness and a whole bunch of other things. But I've seen the bottom. I've seen the wailing, the arms, to see the people. I have shadow people that follow me around constantly. They're always with me. They guard me. They watch me.
You know what you're saying? Let me just to inject here. When I said that Lucifer, and there's just not, I really wish we had more time to go into this, and I know, and I'll be very, very brief. When I say that Lucifer didn't fall, he did not fall, but I did not say that there wasn't a place where souls that are tormented, that there is a place where they go. Torment, there is a place where tormented souls go. There's no, the hell that we think of demons roasting humans on a spit with rosemary, garlic, and a dash of sherry, that doesn't exist. But there is a place where when you leave this world, if you, because you are responsible, even though you could write a script to be the most heinous person this world has ever known, but if you could go back home and you take with you the guilt, the anger, the hate, that cannot abide in heaven, that cannot stand. So if you take that back with you, you're going to get dumped into Lucifer's mansion, and he takes care of broken souls, souls that can't let go of guilt, hate, that can't let go of their ego, that can't let go of whatever it is that's holding them back spiritually. So there is a dark place, but it's not a place where people are being tormented, because they torment themselves. But the thing is, it's not an eternal hell. Once they heal and they realize that they are in the grace of God, and that no one is beyond redemption, and everyone can come back from that, then once they heal themselves of that, then they go home. So what you're seeing is shadow people. Remember, as I said, heaven isn't up there. It's right here. We just can't see it because it's at a different vibration. So the people you're seeing as shadow people are likely people you're encountering that are in Lucifer's mansion.
I've got to ask Patrick, by the way. Patrick, this was your choice. Do you want to leave the dark side?
I actually enjoy it. I take I take personal enjoyment in causing pain to people, but subversively. I don't do it directly or physically, but I do it in a subversive way after I find out their weaknesses. And most people will tell you their weaknesses.
Do you feed off them when you do that? I mean, does it make you feel better?
Yes, it does, actually.
Huh.
And I find people's weaknesses and I exploit them. But I do it in such a way that they don't realize what I'm doing. Maybe to themselves, perhaps odd, but it works very
effectively. Until it's too late. So how do you reach somebody like Patrick if you can, Chantel, by trying to illuminate him to the good?
Well, first of all, my question is, in knowing, what are you gaining from this? Are you looking to gain anything spiritual? Now, there are all types of people in this world, and there are a lot of people who don't want to be, who don't want anything to do with spirituality. And we have people who enjoy things that are dark and quote-unquote evil. But everything we do have a consequence, and all I can say is, are you prepared for the consequences of your actions, both in this illusion and when you go back home? Because right now, it may feel great doing what you're doing, but your higher self, when you go on the other side, may feel burdened with the guilt of the things that you've done, and you won't be able to move on until you've been able to let that go. And the only reason I can say that is because I've had personal experience with that with my father. So I always tell people, think twice, because everything has a consequence.
Yes,
it will follow you.
It's almost like karma, isn't it?
Exactly. We all have karma that eventually we have to pay for. We're answerable to it when we leave here. And you have to be prepared for it and know that anything that you do to someone, it is going to come back at you one way or another. And multiple times over, and I've seen it happen. And that's not a scare story or a bedtime story. That's something that I've seen in the last 20 years.
And it always comes back to haunt you.
Always. Always.
I've always
even after even after you've repented, it still is going to come find its way back to you.
I've always been told that if you send out evil, it comes back tenfold.
Yes, absolutely.
Chantel, in the minute we have left, let's let people know where they can pick up your works.
Oh, and, absolutely.
Like that. Go ahead.
My books can be picked up at just about any major book retailer, Amazon. I am with my publisher is Llewellyn Worldwide, so you could definitely get it from their website. And my website is ChantelLisette.com. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and my website has all of that information. Before we go, if it's okay, George, I would just love to say a very happy birthday to someone dear to me, to kind of christen this beautiful moment tonight. I had a lot of fun. And that is to people who have a birthday coming up, and that is to my several of my sons. And they're not my blood sons, but I'm kind of the honorary mother. And that is Shin Soo-yun and Eli Kim of the international Korean K-pop group UKISS. Boys, have beautiful birthdays. The rest of the boys of the group, be good, stay healthy, and have a great 2014.
Super, Chantel. I hope they all do. Thank you so much. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Napinard Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.